This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and welcome back to BFM 89.9. This is The Morning Run, and I am Roshan Kanesan with Kusi Chuang in the studio this morning.
And, Happy Friday.
Oh my God, you are right. It is Friday. Amazing.
Bro, it ain't Friday. It's Fri-yay, bro.
Fri-yay. And in our continuing endeavors to modernize the way we work and live, Wong Xiaoning, are you there with us over Zoom? All right, we are having some technical difficulties at this point.
See, I told you not to buy Zoom.
I told you, you told me, but Xiaoning, are you there? I think we've...
There you are. Well...
Nope. We have once again failed in our endeavor this morning, Chuang.
Yeah, sometimes Wong Xiaoning's like the Scarlet Pimpernel. She's here, she's there, but she's always there.
See, Chuang, this
hither
is...
Hither and thither.
Well, this is part of life, right?
That's right.
Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, and sometimes, like what we've done this morning, we have completely failed in our in our venture here. But, you know, we've got an exciting lineup, as we do every morning at the 6 o'clock hour. Chuang, it is obviously the lighter side of things, but we've got some serious things to cover at on the international side later.
That's right. We're only serious when we're not being serious, but we're not being serious only when we're being serious.
Ah,
but
yes.
When we're being serious, we'll talk about China. We'll talk about China and how China wants Hong Kong back and the rest of the world doesn't like it. We'll also talk about how change is never palatable for people, especially for those that are a little bit more fragile than others. So we'll talk about that. And that comes from the BBC.
Very interesting conversations to be had. And as usual, towards the end of the hour, we will cover the papers and some big, big news. Tun Dr. Mate and four other MPs out of Bersatu. This was yesterday evening we saw this happen. So we will be covering that a little later and throughout the show.
Hello.
And right now, oh, there, we have Wong
Xiaoning. The Scarlet Pimpernel is back.
Yes, right now we're going into a few messages, and when we come back, we'll be taking a look at online courses and whether you've developed any skills during the MCO. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanesan with Kusi Chuang in the studio with me this morning, and over the power of the internet, I have a Wong Xiaoning on the line with us as well. Xiaoning, are you there with us?
Yes, I am.
Ah, wonderful.
In the recesses of
In the recesses of a cupboard. That sounds like a very comfortable place to be in. But right now, we're talking about, you know, a lot of us, or not a lot of us, all of us have gone through the MCO over the last, I can't remember how many weeks now, I want to say 2 months at least. And some of us, including some of my friends, have taken to learning new skills, whether it's cooking, learning how to clean better, or even skills online, like courses. I have friends who are doing data science courses. I have friends who are doing... Because a lot of these places are giving you that free one-month subscription. So I want to know whether this is a time to do that, right? Especially when you're at home. Chuang, have you picked up any new skills?
Actually, I did, you know. I did inner engineering. Well, I'm doing inner engineering by Sadhguru. I've tried to become more spiritual, which is a bit counterintuitive for someone like me.
I'm just trying to picture you.
Wong Xiaoning is like smiling away, incredulous, I think.
She's trying not to laugh at you, I think, at this point. Xiaoning, have you picked up any new skills?
I'm trying very hard not to laugh. I can imagine a meditative and contemplative Chuang.
wouldn't that be something?
Wouldn't
a
that
contemplative
be something?
Chuang. Xiaoning, have you picked up any new skills?
Of course, I can speak French and German fluently by now. No, I'm I learned that in 70 days of the MCO. No, I have to say I haven't been good in the academic perspective, but I have picked up, as you all know, I like to cook. So I picked up some new skills in cooking. And you're right, Roshan, the other thing I picked up is the cleaning skills. I'm now a little bit better with the broom and the mop.
I've actually learned more efficient ways to clean the dishes, because it can be an infuriating task if you're not being very optimized about it, because it just feels like a never-ending avalanche of dishes. And you're just wondering, who's drinking this much water that you need 7 different cups in the day?
And actually, Malaysia is quite dirty, because you clean the house one day, then the next day there's dirt again, there's dust again.
The dust is a big problem. It definitely is. But, you know, on the academic side, I've actually been experimenting with LinkedIn Learning, which which is one of the recommendations here on the Fast Company article. So LinkedIn has that 30-day free trial that you can try for the LinkedIn Premium, and you get that LinkedIn Learning with it. And it's interesting because it gives you access to a whole bunch of instructors and courses from things as basic as, or not as basic as, Microsoft Office.
Yeah, I think you pay $30 unlimited access, yes. Right? But it started off as Lynda. But are they any good? Are they good?
It is interesting. It is. It's like official learning academy. It's like watching YouTube, but instructional videos and step-by-step courses.
So quite masterclass-like, is it?
Yes, I would say a little bit more masterclass, although I've never really tried masterclass.
I wanted to. I was going to do it, and then a Chinaman in me said, hey, hello, so expensive lah.
The Chinaman in you said that.
The China pet, yeah.
But I've been very curious. I have a friend who is doing a IBM data science course on Coursera. And I mean, the first 2 weeks is free, but after that, every month is $40. But it's a professional certification that you get at the end of the day.
Yeah, those Coursera ones, those Udemy ones, they're a little bit like a chewing cardboard, a bit dry, you know? They are.
Well, like university, right? Xiaoning, do any of these platforms stand out to you in the learning department? Have you heard of any of your friends maybe or acquaintances maybe picking up something online?
No, everyone I know seems to be very lazy. Nobody's doing anything very intellectual or academic. I guess for some of us, we are still working, right? I mean, literally 9 to 5, except maybe in the office and some days at home. But I think all these courses still require a great sense of discipline. And it must be even worse because you're just interacting on a computer. So it's you sitting down in front of a computer. I'm just wondering how exciting it is learn something that way. I mean, if let's say you're like, let's say foreign language, it in itself is very already difficult. How do you do it online and be consistent about it? That's my point.
Yeah, in which case, then I've got to recommend another great course. It's called Mindfulness and it's conducted by none other than, drum roll please, Noah Lim. It's actually quite good. You should give it a try. Give it a twirl, as they say.
All right. Yeah, that is interesting. I mean, on that point, Xiaoning, I do like the idea of being able to take charge and accountability of your learning. So even in university, again, I'm not endorsing this behavior, but I didn't go for any lectures. I went for tutorials only.
You didn't go for lectures?
Because I could learn the lecture notes by myself before the lecture and get done with that in half an hour as opposed to sitting through a 2-hour lecture. So
Chong, he's trying to tell us that he's very clever.
He's saying he's very clever. Like, in one fell swoop. First of all,
yes,
that he's a rebel.
I'm very clever.
Yeah, he's a clever. Yeah, he's a clever guy, but he's also a rebel, you see. So it's cool.
Clever
and,
rebel.
And geeky at the same time.
Well, as long as it's a clever rebel and not Bonnie Rubble, I think I'm okay there. Right now, we're going into a few messages. And when we come back, we'll be talking about what makes you feel uneasy about this new normal. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kunnison, and that was Texas Sun by Krongbin and Leon Bridges. Traditionally, I think Krongbin only does instrumental, so they brought Leon Bridges there to add in the vocals. And no, I'm not a music maestro. I just know how to use the magic of the internet. Kusu Chuang, are you familiar with that track? Is it from your generation?
Well, I like the band. Obviously, three-person band, a black guy on drums, a lady front vocals. They didn't used to have vocals, but they added it later on in life, yeah.
Yes, and also Wong Xiaoning, is that a song you're familiar with, or are you like me, a little bit out of this scene?
I've only started to listen to it because it gets played, this band gets played quite a bit on BFM. But yeah, I like the music.
Thanks to Sim Wee Boon, the star producer. Yeah.
Yes, and definitely very BFM vibes there. But right now we're talking about the opposite of good vibes, uneasy vibes, which we are seeing, which seem to be permeating through as the new normal starts to kick in. I mean, one of the things is, the lockdown is easing around the world and the MCO is easing, but not everyone is jumping for joy. There's a sense of nervousness. I can feel it when I went to the mall last week. Everyone's still a bit uneasy about this. How are you two feeling, Xiaoning?
Well, of course, it's strange, right? I mean, you have this backdrop of this pandemic where you know that if you catch it, there is always this possibility of dying. And it seems to, you know, initially afflict so many people and there's so much unknown about it. And then there's also no cure. Added to this is that everyone is walking around with masks. And, you know, the other thing is that everybody seems to not give you very much eye contact. They just walk very quickly everywhere because people are, you know, trying to get their job done, trying to get their task done and then go home. So I think, that created that whole sense of unease. And although I think we have adapted, because we're what, in day 70 of this lockdown, we've adapted to it, but the sense of anxiety never really goes away.
Yeah, because now we have to readapt to something new, which is going back to a sense of a normal life in and amongst all of the things that we've learned, right? So going to the mall, like I think the first time when things were finally opening up and restaurants were opening up, my parents went out. And at the door, I said, I can't do this. I can't go out.
Yeah,
because I was comfortable with the idea of going into a mall where it's a lot more spacious and open. But the idea of going into a confined space, like a restaurant at that point, got me very anxious because I still didn't know all the variables involved and all of that. It was still very new. Obviously, not as paranoid as I was, and a lot more comfortable. I finally did eat out, and it was okay.
Yeah, you know, I don't think this past 70 days would have been the same for everybody, right? It's very much contingent about what kind of person you are. If you're someone who thrives on uncertainty, which I think I am, I actually found the whole period very exciting. I love the fact that the streets were clean, environment was cleaning up. You don't go into the restaurants because you just don't want to, right? You don't want to catch it at the same time. But I actually feel quite excited about the future because I think that, you know, out of disorder, out of chaos, sometimes comes order, which I think is very necessary.
Wow, yeah, very
but
profound.
I think everybody
it is
very profound absolutely. This morning, Kostrom. Must be from his mindfulness
exactly.
lessons.
Exactly it, Xiaoning. It's this mindfulness. You see, he's been very quiet about it and now he's letting loose a little bit.
But the boom.
Showing. So if I'm the clever rebel, what is Kostrom this morning?
I don't know. Like
the mindful stoic.
There's an extrovert and there's an introvert. Then you've got the extroverted introvert or the introverted extrovert, you see.
Oh, we're just throwing out terms this morning. Xiaoning, sorry, we interrupted you there.
No, I think Chuang's point is true. It depends on what kind of person you were before that. So if you were a very social creature, I think you would find this MCO lockdown, you know, difficult because you would miss so much of going out with your friends, hanging out with people, chit-chatting, doing the things that you enjoy, and then suddenly you can't. But if you were introverted and you like staying at home, it didn't really, you know, it wasn't such a big change to your lifestyle. But I think the main thing is you recognize if you do have that anxiety and there's nothing wrong with it. And how do you cope with it is the next step, right? Because that's important. So whether you talk to somebody, whether you keep a journal to write down your thoughts or attend a mindful class like Chuang, maybe those are the ways that different people need to adapt to the new, you know, to the new normal.
Yeah, you know, obviously things have changed immeasurably, right? The traffic jams were way too bad in too many urban centers around the world. That is going to change. Air travel was too much. There was too much tourism. A lot of spots around the world were over-visited. That's going to change, and I think that's good. Prices in, for example, in Premiership football, transfer fees are too high. That's going to change, which is good, right? Too many people at malls and too many malls. We need more malls, like we need more holes in the head. That's going to change, and that's good. But sometimes that change with political leadership, for example, is not always good. So that's not good, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, Chuang, definitely a long list there we need to get by with. But also one of the things I do want to point out is that I think doing this digital hangouts over the different platforms that we have has really helped keep a lot of
that's
people sane.
That's good, yeah.
You know, and I know my parents personally have done that. Right now, we're going into a few messages and then the 6:30 a.m. news bulletin to take you there. Smooth Operator by Sade from actually their debut studio album, Diamond Life from 1984. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanasan, and that was So Good at Being in Trouble by Unknown Mortal Orchestra, which seems to be Kusa Chuang's theme song, I personally feel anyway. I think Wong Xiaoning would agree with me on that.
I beg your pardon. So good at sometimes being in trouble, not always.
Ah, right. Right now, we are taking a look at the International Story Center. Help me do that, Kusi Chuang, in the studio with me and Wong Xiaoning over the powers of the internet, joining us on the line today. And the first story on our docket here is basically the China's Premier Li has said that the economy can grow if they get some things done right. And I think this came off the back of initially them saying that they're going to miss their growth targets earlier this year.
Yeah, that's right. So what they've tried to do basically is to not set a numerical growth target for the first time in a million years, right? But they've also said that they've also reserved policy space on the fiscal, financial, social security front. And I guess this is basically a government response to what's happening with the pandemic, because for at least 2 months, Wuhan, which is one of the China's biggest cities, I think 19 million people, and the rest of the country went into lockdown. So I think just like with other countries around the world that have been hit by COVID-19, they're trying to resuscitate the economy, and they're talking about providing vital relief to businesses, revitalizing the markets, protecting people's lives. Instead, and this is a big thing, instead of undertaking large infrastructure construction projects.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, consumption is a huge part of any economy. Like if you take a look at the US, I think it's close to 70% of the consumer, the US consumer is about 70% of that economy. Xiaoning, what were some of your takeaways from this story that we've got here?
Well, it's not unsurprising that they had to basically come out and say that they have no growth target because things are so uncertain. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to be brave enough to come up with a definitive number, right? But what Yong mentioned is true. China is pivoting from what was driven very much a state-driven kind of economy to a private consumption economy. The creation of the Chinese middle class was very much the aim of Beijing for the last 10 years. So now the focus is on spurring that consumption and energizing the market again. Now, the problem with all that about consumption is psychology, and we've been talking about it this morning, right? Whether, yes, the shops are open, the malls are open, the restaurants are open, but are people ready to go out there and spend their money? Everyone feels a little bit nervous, and it's the same thing in China. So some of the initiatives they've done include giving out like vouchers for people to spend in shops. Now, whether that works, it'll be an interesting study, and maybe something that other countries can also learn, because they exited the lockdown much faster than us. But they have the capacity to do so. I mean, they can raise special sovereign bonds, which they have already done. But in terms of building, I think there's a limit, right? Because we all know there's overcapacity of highways, airports, trains in China. But I think they'll restart their Belt Road initiative.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, there's only so many things you can build. But what you can do is you can keep spurring consumer growth, or at least consumer demand there. And the economy runs on that. The economy runs on spending. And the minute people stop spending money, the economy stops growing or stops working in a lot of ways. And right now, the big problem is, how do you get people to be confident enough to spend? Yes, there's going to be a group of people who are going to be looking for deals and are okay spending money. But a lot of people are going to be taking things like the stimulus checks or the Bantuan Sarahidup or the Bantuan Prihatin, in Malaysia, and stashing that money away if they can. Others just buying necessities.
Yeah, I mean, Asians by their very nature are savers, right? Not consumers, not spenders. And I guess one of the byproducts of the Belt and Road Initiative is the fact that we've got a great quantum of China nationals living and working in Kuala Lumpur and Malaysia, right? And I've interacted with some of them. And, you know, some of them, and these are high-level professionals, you know, management level at least. And they talk about how in China, people want to actually leave the country because of the constricting nature of the government. And you can see that in terms of the strong-arm tactics that the Chinese government, China's government is imposing on, say, Hong Kong. And Hong Kong, they've just passed a law which allows them to bypass the local Hong Kong legislature and basically penalize Hong Kong residents for activities which they deem as counter to Chinese government interests. And that's a template for what Taiwan also fears in terms of what might happen to them down the line. And we talked about this yesterday. If you are a Chinese resident in China, how confident would you be about the future? Would you be chest thumping and saying, oh, China's great, this is the return of the superpower? Or would you think to yourself, I don't know, this is a very uncertain future, I'm going to save my coins and see what happens next?
Yeah, I think this is the return of the trade tensions that we thought
Absolutely.
Were put to bed, but maybe they were just hibernating while everyone was dealing with COVID-19. And now we're going to see, again, it seems like a rehashing of stories from this power battle between the US and China for essentially supremacy over the global economy.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, later today in American time, Donald Trump is going to make a press conference on what they're going to do with China. And on three fronts, right? It's the pandemic and how they're blaming China for it. The second thing is how China is treating the Muslim Uyghurs. And of course, the third thing is Hong Kong. And we don't know what's going to happen next.
All right, Shannon, before we go into a few messages, do you have anything to round off this conversation there?
Guys, this is the new Cold War.
It is. Oh, absolutely. For sure.
New Cold War. Oh, and the last Cold War lasted 40 years. Let's see how long this one lasts.
Yeah, definitely. And on that note of a Cold War, we're going into a few messages right now. When we come back, a look at the papers and the portal. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanesan. And that was OK Go with Here It Goes Again. A great song, I think, for a Friday. And that was from their 2005 album, Oh No. A lot of O's and No's and Go's in this series of words that I'm saying right now. But right now, we're taking a look at the papers and the portals. Kusi Chuang, you have the New Straits Times in front of you. What is it telling you?
Well, I do. And it's an interesting picture about we've got a police man on the front cover of the New Straits Times. Not only is he holding a submachine gun, looking very ominous, but he's also got a face mask on. So apparently, there's this thing called Obs Benteng. It's going to be... introduced to stop illegal immigrants from entering the country. And this is specifically from Thailand, because apparently in Thailand, if you're afflicted with coronavirus and coming over to Malaysia, because I presume they deem it safer, but they're illegal immigrants, right? So we're turning them away at the border, and that's what the soldiers are doing.
Right. And Shaning, what are you paying attention to? What's caught your interest on the papers and the portals?
Well, because I love the Singapore Straits Times every day, I've been looking at it. I'm going to be turning the attention on their phase two of COVID-19 reopening. That's going to be mid-June. So the headline is Dining In, Use of Sports Facilities to Resume in This Phase. So they are like us, they are easing into a lockdown. But unusually, they are allowing sports facilities and public venues like stadiums and swimming pools to reopen, which currently we haven't done so.
Right. Yes, definitely that a little bit more progress on that front. I've got the Star in front of me with probably the most, the hottest topic of the town right now. Dr. Mahathir and four others out of Bersatu. And obviously, no one's letting this go without a fight and really challenging it on the technicality, on the technicalities of the story. But basically, it comes down to the fact that Dr. Mahathir led four others to sit on the opposition side of the bench during the parliament sitting. And according to the Bersatu constitution, that's not allowed. And automatically, it's constituted, terminates your membership. Now, there is a fight over what that means, because on one side, they're saying, I think this was from Dato' Marzuki, saying that this termination can only be done through, there's a process about it, and the process was not done, including the Supreme Council. Where else, I think one side has pointed out that this is an automatic, you automatically leave it. So it's all coming down to this technicality, which I'm sure we will see develop over the next few days and weeks.
Okay, still very much in a political vein, the Malaysian Insight, quoting the Prime Minister as saying that he is not in Singapore seeking treatment. And of course, we know that he was at one point in time afflicted with cancer, I think bowel cancer. He's 7 days into his self-quarantine because he had an officer close to him who attended a post-cabinet meeting and did then test positive for COVID-19. So he's in self-quarantine. He's in his house in Damansara Heights, and he's saying that rumor that I'm in Singapore seeking treatment, and that's false.
Right. And Shaning, what else is piquing your interest?
I'm looking at Focus Malaysia, and they've highlighted an article, a letter actually written by the 8 past Bar Council presidents asking questions about Reza's discharge, right? I think, and it bringing up some very valid points, because we do know that Reza, who is Najib's stepson, was granted a discharge over this $248 million money laundering case. So the 8 ex-past presidents of the Bar Council, they issued a joint statement coming up with some very interesting questions, which actually I think some of it, I would like to know too.
I think clarity seems to be the name of the game here this morning. On one side, we have this story around what really happened behind this deal. Then obviously, we have what's going on in Bersatu as well. Anything else, Chuang? I see you flipping through the papers there.
Well, the NST is being the chosen platform for some of the listed companies to announce the AGM. So, Public Bank, and I'd just like to point out that all these AGMs are going to be held by virtual remote conference, right? So, Public Bank will conduct theirs on Monday, 29th of June. That's next month. Genting will do theirs by virtual broadcast also on the 22nd of June next month. Hub Sing Consolidated You can tell it's a dry news day when you're doing AGM dates, right?
No. But Chuang, you know what would be the saddest thing is that you can't get your free gift and then you can't get to tapau your food.
And then you can't bellyache about how bad the mee goreng is this year.
Yeah.
Right?
And complain about the free parking or lack of free parking.
That's right, free parking if you're Chinese. Malaysia Airports. Malaysia Airports are Tuesday, 30th of June. I can do that because I am Chinese, yeah.
All right. And on that lovely note there, we're going into a few messages and then the 7 a.m. news bulletin. And to take you there, we have All Right by Jamiroquai. This is from their third studio album, Traveling Without Moving. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.